Well, good morning. It is March 6th, 2023, and welcome once again to our daily Bible reading. Today we're going to continue pressing on through the book of Exodus, chapter 17, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, Job, chapter 35, and 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. So let's get in the Word today. Exodus, chapter 17 today. Exodus 17. Then the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, encamped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. And therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses, and said, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" And so Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do to this people? A little more, and they will stone me." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Pass before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you will strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he named the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. And so Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us, and go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." And Joshua did as Moses told him, and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it came about, when Moses held his hand up, that Israel prevailed, and that when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were very heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. And thus his hands were steady until the sun set. And so Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial, and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "The Lord has sworn, and the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." That was Exodus chapter 17. Let's move on over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 20. Gospel of Luke, chapter 20. On one of the days while he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders confronted him, and they spoke, saying to him, "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things, or who is the one who gave you this authority?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "I will also ask you a question, and you tell me. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." And so they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey for a long time. And at the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers so that they would give him some of the produce of the vineyard. But the vine growers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he proceeded to send another slave, and they beat him also and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he proceeded to send a third, and this one also they wounded and cast out. And the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the vine growers saw him, they reasoned with one another, saying, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance will be ours." And so they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy these vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, "May it never be." But Jesus looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? 'The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust.'" And the scribes and chief priests tried to lay hands on him that very hour, and they feared for the people, for they understood that he spoke this parable against them. And so they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous in order that they might catch him in some statement so that they could deliver him to the rule and the authority of the governor. And they questioned him, saying, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But he detected their trickery and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" And they said, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were unable to catch him in a saying in the presence of the people, and being amazed at his answer, they became silent. Now there came to him some of the Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection. And they questioned him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies having a wife, and he is childless, that his brother should marry the wife and raise up children to his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died childless, and the second and the third married her. And in the same way, all seven died, leaving no children. And finally, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, which one's wife will she be? For all seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given to marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to this age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot even die anymore, because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But the dead are raised. Even Moses showed in the passage about the burning bush, where he called the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Some of the scribes answered and said, "Teacher, you have spoken well," for they did not have the courage to question him any longer about anything. And then he said to them, "How is it that they say the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' And therefore David calls him Lord. And how is he his son?" And while all the people were listening, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and have respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogue and places of honor at the banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." That was Luke chapter 20. Let's move on over to our next reading today in Job chapter 35. Job chapter 35. Job 35. Job 35. Then Elihu continued and said, "Do you think this is according to justice? Do you say my righteousness is more than God's? For you say, 'What advantage will it be to you? What profit will I have more than if I had sinned?' I will answer you and your friends with you. Look at the heavens and see, and behold the clouds. They are higher than you. If you have sinned, what do you accomplish against him? And if your transgressions are many, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give to him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness is for a man like yourself, and your righteousness is for a son of man. Because of the multitude of oppression, they cry out. They cry for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, 'Where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens?' There they cry out, but he does not answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not listen to an empty cry, nor will the Almighty regard it. How much less when you say you do not behold him? The case is before him, and you must wait for him. And now, because he has not visited in his anger, nor has he acknowledged transgression well, and so Job opens his mouth emptily, and he multiplies words without knowledge." That was Job chapter 35. Let's move on over to our final reading today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. And therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. And therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in his body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you as an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, and yet now we know him in this way no longer. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. And we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen to that. Praise God. That was our reading today for March 6, 2023. Be sure to leave a comment or a reaction to this video, and I'll be sure to mark that down. If you missed a couple days, no worries. Go back and take some time today and watch them and get caught up to date. Make sure to leave a comment or a reaction on those videos. And we'll mark those down. But again, thank you all so much for joining me so faithfully every day. Stick with it. And it's just a great, great discipline for us to develop as brother and sister Christians. But that said, let's start our day with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. Indeed, Lord, we thank you so much for the fact that Jesus came to become that sin for us. You made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be reconciled to you. And Lord, we thank you so much for that reconciliation. Lord, I pray, God, that now that we are redeemed and made those ambassadors for you, ambassadors for Christ, Lord, that we would indeed act on that job, Lord, that you've given to us. Lord, give us opportunity to get out there today and witness to someone, to share Jesus with someone today. Lord, I pray, God, that if you bring somebody in our path, that we would be sensitive, Lord, to where they are at spiritually. And, Lord, that you'd give us boldness, that you would give us courage, that you would help us, Lord, to be able to just open our mouths and share Jesus with someone, Lord, that we would see more and more people get saved. Lord, our desire is to see a great awakening here in New England once again, Lord, to see another revival happen, Lord, throughout this land. Lord, I pray it would happen. And, Lord, the only way it's going to happen is starting individually, Lord, with each of us, Lord, who get out there and are bold and are courageous in sharing Jesus with others. And so, Lord, may that start with me. May that start with my brothers and sisters. And, Lord, may many come to know you as Savior, Lord, as a result. We love you. Give us a good day in you, Lord, today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good one, everybody. Bye now.